Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is a beautiful Thursday morning outside. It is November 14th, and it is the Blitz that you are listening to. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by Chance Collins. The fish has left for vacation. He is gone. He's out of here. We're moving on for the next couple days. But we do have a couple interesting announcements about the fish that we'll get into at some point soon. Regardless, it is a good day. It is a beautiful day. How are you guys doing?
Feeling good. Feeling great, Rick.
Love it.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Fired up.
Yeah.
You guys got a big weekend ahead?
That's no. All right. Not really.
Yeah.
Bye week. It's going to be a chill weekend.
I was thinking about that today. I was thinking that, you know, haven't had a bye week in a while. Things have been crazy on Saturdays. It'll be nice. It'll be nice just to have a weekend kind of off this weekend. Just to sit down, watch all the games, tune in whenever you want, not really have that central thing to focus on. Bye weeks are always a nice change of pace.
Oh, yeah. A little rejuvenation.
Yeah.
I don't care for them.
Bye week?
Whoa. Don't care for them.
No.
That's good. It's good for the team. Good for us.
I'd rather us be playing this week.
You want to keep the momentum going?
Yeah.
You believe in momentum?
I feel like most people do.
Chance just not, if you were not aware.
I know.
He knows this.
He does.
He's very much aware.
The bye week is, you're right. I guess on one hand, the bye week is unfortunate for the team because you feel like, especially after Kentucky, like spirits are high, things are rolling. But on the other hand, you want to get people you want to get people some rest. And speaking of people who need rest, like I need rest myself. I need a Saturday where no Tennessee football.
What do
I feel
you
like I need to recharge myself.
Rest? You need rest?
Yes.
What are you talking
what
about?
What do you do?
Wow.
Look, I feel like I just need a little break from Tennessee. I got to reset the clock. Look, these seasons can get a little overwhelming sometimes.
So you need this bye week more than the team, apparently.
No, I would say it's equal. I would say it fits in a very nice slot.
Okay, then.
But we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Bunch of stories. Unfortunately, it wasn't as many big breaking headlines as yesterday. I don't know if we'll ever be able to compete with that. That was just on a different level of fantastic. But nonetheless, there are great stuff to talk about. Tennessee's next basketball game will be this Saturday against ranked Washington. That is part of the James Naismith Classic. Gino Auriemma is coming off the top ropes on Tennessee right now. Very interesting. Basically because of a different situation, just in recent history that Tennessee fans have dealt with. It's kind of an interesting conversation. The football team is obviously off this week, as we've been saying, but what is the team going to look like when they come back? I know Pruitt spoke about the starting quarterbacks, what he thinks about Jarrett Garantano's role right now for the quarterbacks. There's a ton of stuff. Colin Kaepernick thing is crazy right now.
Yeah.
There is a ton. Where do you guys want to start with this all today?
I don't know.
I'm flipping
just
it.
Throw a dart.
I'm flipping it. Okay, I'll do this. We'll start a little unconventionally this, or excuse me, today. Gino Auriemma. This is interesting. So if you remember correctly, you remember at the end of last season for the Lady Vols, things were kind of crazy. We were all talking about it just because there was a coach being fired. But one of the things that had happened was you had a former player in Avena Westbrook, and she basically went on, I believe it was one of the ESPN shows or something like that, and just ripped up the coaching staff. Do you remember this?
Yes, yes, I do.
Well, she would eventually transfer. Now, the team that she transferred to was NCAA women's basketball powerhouse, the University of Connecticut, under Gino Auriemma. So I guess what has happened is that at some point in the process, Avena Westbrook is not being allowed to, or excuse me, her appeal to play immediately was also denied. Now, if you want to take this to a similar situation, this is basically the exact situation that's what's happening with Juroš Plavšić, in which it seems like the team that where he's coming from or the team where she is coming from is kind of holding up some of the process. This is what Auriemma had to say. The thing I keep coming back to, if you read the NCAA's release, the original one, they said, we think it's kind of a normal situation. That's what the NCAA said. We think it's kind of a normal situation that it happens at a lot of campuses. You know what? A lot of campuses should shut down their programs if that's normal. That's basically what this is. Say something else. Say anything. Don't say that's normal. That's the word they used. That's normal. He's basically talking about how teams are allowed to kind of drag the process through the mud if they so choose. What do you think about all this, especially in relation to how this is kind of the exact Tennessee's kind of the bad guy in the situation that we were calling the Arizona State Athletic Director the bad guy for a while, and what we thought was the reason that kind of the Juroš Plavšić situation was getting held up.
Well, that's not all he said. He went on to say, ask about what he meant by normal, and he said that he can't get into that. And then he goes on and says, think about this. A kid's in an environment that's not necessarily healthy, an environment that if you knew what the environment was, which I can't say, you would not want your kid in that environment. And the athletic director there, talking about Philip Fulmer, knows it. But he's not going to support her leaving, which would have helped us a little bit. Calling out Fulmer?
He's calling out the battle captain.
People just can't keep Fulmer's name out of their mouth.
No, everyone likes to talk about him. That is for certain.
What was it, Danny Tanner out at Arizona State?
Yeah, Ray Anderson.
No.
You were close, though.
I was thinking it was Ray Tanner.
Danny Tanner from Full House. Yeah. He really just went with that one. I like
Danny
it.
And Joey and Uncle Jesse.
Oh, yeah, the whole gang.
Yeah, we're on the other side in this, like you say, in this aspect.
Being accused of holding somebody up.
The battle captain. He does what he wants to do. I mean, is it something that you hate to see? In a sense, like, can we be on one side and be like, oh, we hate when that happens to us, but at the same time, like, go ahead, Phil. Do what you got to do. Like, I feel like a little hypocritical.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this, too. You know?
A little hypocritical. It is.
Just let her go. Give me Juroš.
Yeah.
Give me Juroš. Yeah, and let her go.
Can we make a fair trade?
We need a good karma.
Can we say that, yeah, all parties will just release what they got and everyone will be good? Look, I think the thing about this is that I'm not entirely surprised by it. You know? Like, I know that these kind of things sometimes happen amongst college athletic programs around the country, but I'm not really surprised by this. This seems like a situation where, you know, maybe Fulmer doesn't want this to happen. Now, again, maybe this is a little bit of a different situation because it is one of your players going to one of the best teams in just team-wide sports the last decade. Maybe if, like, we had a player, imagine if, like, we had a player and they were transferring to Duke. Maybe Fulmer would hold that up, right? Because it's just the rich getting richer. But I'm not really surprised, and it's kind of making me look back and think, you know, Brandon, like what you said, Everyone can't keep Fulmer's name out of their mouth. Maybe he keeps doing something to put it there. He keeps giving them a reason, something to talk about.
Well, maybe you should give them a reason to keep it out of this, out of their mouths. Maybe give them an old knuckle sandwich.
A little knuckle sandwich.
Serve up a knuckle sandwich to who?
Whoever's running their mouth.
Phil Fulmer to Gino Auriemma?
Yeah.
All right.
Two-piece and a biscuit.
I love a little two-piece and a biscuit action.
Who would win in a fight, Gino Auriemma or Phil Fulmer?
Are you kidding me?
The battle captain all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I feel really good about this one. I feel unbelievably confident about this one. I think Philip Fulmer would just find the nearest thing that could be used as a club. That's what I would see him using.
A club?
A club.
I don't know. Do you think we're really doing this? Think we're holding her up?
Yeah, I do.
I think so, too.
I do, because here's what I think. Remember how we gave Philip Fulmer all the – or, excuse me, we gave a lot of benefit of the doubt to the fact that the people who were making the accusations knew what they were talking about. Right, like these are people up in high level positions, and this is no different. This is one of the premier sports coaches of this last decade. One of the absolute top guys at his craft. I don't think when a guy like this says something, you know, he's kind of just blowing smoke. I don't think that at all. I think he legitimately does see a problem. Now, on one hand, is it kind of like Nick Saban? You know, when we see him get mad at the media and we're like, man, you got it all. Can you? You're very high strung right now, and you got it all. Like you have the whole palace. Why are you so high strung? You don't need whatever you're asking for right now. You're gonna be fine. Maybe that's the way some people are looking at Gino, but I do think we're doing this. Yeah.
So, does this change your opinion on Plavsic?
Well, I think that I was always skeptical. Whether these things were happening or not, right? Like, I was always skeptical if the Plavsic thing, you know, really was being held up by Arizona State. And now, you know, now that we're seeing this story kind of unfold and it's showing that, hey, this is a situation that can happen, and not just in one sport. Like, it can range both college basketball sports. I'm not surprised, and it doesn't really change my opinion. If anything, it's like, well, yeah, you know what? We're probably not going to give Plavsic because people probably do this more often than we think.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope he gets cleared. I mean, we still have a sliver of hope. A sliver of hope with Plavsic.
We do. And it's going to be interesting. Now, could Tennessee, not that I think they would want to, but could Tennessee technically do what Memphis is doing with James Wiseman right now? I think that they would have already had to have done it because if I believe correctly, the Shelby County judge was an emergency temporary restraining order.
So here's the deal. So with Plavsic, it's already an existing rule that if you transfer, you're already ineligible unless you get a waiver.
Okay.
This situation with James Wiseman, no one really knows what it is, but everyone thinks that he will be declared ineligible. I think I even read a story yesterday that I think the quote from is that he will be likely ineligible and that Memphis is playing him anyway.
Yeah, and they're just going to have to.
They just don't care.
Yeah. I think that what Memphis is trying to do is I do think that they are hoping and expecting that Wiseman does get cleared. But I think for them, this is a message to recruits. Right? And this is a message to recruits saying, hey, if you come play basketball at Memphis University, we will always have your back. Like, there is nothing that the NCAA can do that we will not stand up for you and fight for you for. We don't even care if it hurts our program. We'll put you out on the court. We'll make sure you get where you need to go. I'm with you. But on the other hand, NCAA corrupt.
You want to know something, Rick?
Yes.
You know who has the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th best odds to win the national championship in basketball?
No.
Would you like to know?
I would assume the number 5 team in the AP poll.
No. I'll tell you on the other side.
All right. Back
teaser.
Back with the Blitz after this. Brandon, you said that there is a little bit of an interesting line there for the NCAA college basketball champions for 2020. Is that right?
Yes. Very interesting. So at mybookie.ag.
Real quick, it says that Memphis, the Whoa. Memphis East High School may be stripped of their state title that James Wiseman won.
You love this.
Yes. I hate Memphis. I hate them.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. I wanted to get that headline out. I will find the rest of that story while you're talking about this.
I think.
But that's crazy.
I think
that's
we should
crazy.
Just annex Memphis and let Arkansas
so
have
like
them.
Cut them off the map?
Yeah, just let Arkansas. Just give them to Arkansas.
They need
let
some more
Arkansas
stuff,
have
don't they?
Them.
Yeah.
Famous words, let Arkansas have them.
Yeah, just
them.
Cut out Shelby County and give it to Arkansas.
They can go ahead and have them.
You're done with the west side of the state?
No.
It sounds like it.
It very much sounds like it.
No, I just said.
You're just trying to annex them.
I just said Shelby County, not the entire western portion of the state.
Oh.
Jackson is fine. Lake City is fine.
Germantown.
Or Real Foot Lake. Love Real Foot Lake.
Me too.
Big proponent of Real Foot Lake.
Yeah. Brandon not Orton. The entire western part of the state. It is funny that they're getting their high school championship strip.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy that this is now, you know, going down to that high school level.
Back to the basketball odds. So,
okay.
mybookie.ag, college basketball national championship odds. Your favorites, Kentucky, plus 685. Michigan State, plus 745. Duke, plus 925. So those are your top three. Then we get to Louisville, who is plus 1,000. And who is right there beside Louisville? Your Tennessee Volunteers.
Ricky Barnes.
Plus 1,000 to win the NCAA National Championship.
$100 gets you 1,000 right now?
That is ahead of Kansas, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Texas Tech,
Washington, who you play this Saturday.
Yeah, all these teams. Huh? Vegas know something we don't?
Maybe.
Urosh?
All right, let's think about this. Realistically, there's no way in hell Tennessee should be tied with the fourth best chances to win the national championship.
Hey, what do you know? You're not an odds maker.
Well, clearly nothing.
You're not an odds maker.
What do you know?
That is true.
What do I know?
No.
Oh, what does Rick know?
You telling him what does he know?
Yeah, you're not an odds maker, Rick.
No, I'm not. That is true.
I know simply what the odds tell me. And they tell me that Tennessee has tied for the fourth best.
Okay. So then why don't you translate this to me and tell me why Tennessee should have the fourth best odds to win the national championship. Translate it for me. Be my Google Translate.
Well, Rick, it's clearly a misprint.
Has to be.
We've put our heads together for multiple minutes now, and the best idea that we can come up with is just that it's a misprint.
It has to be, because I think before they played Murray State, they were plus 10,000. So apparently they lost a zero somewhere. But yeah. Yeah. Obviously they're not that high. But I did think that was a little funny.
That is what we legitimately think it is, right? It's just somebody put in the numbers.
It has to be.
But because there's no way that Tennessee can be right there and sandwiched in between Louisville, Duke, Kansas, and Florida, and North Carolina. There's just no way, right? If this was last year,
I would
have borderline argued that we should have been higher. I think I would have made a big argument that we should have been in the top three.
Maybe this is next year.
I don't know. This says 2020.
It's not next year. I was just trying to.
Oh, okay. See, you couldn't put one past me there. I'm an iron wall.
Speaking of next year, though,
The teams around the 10,000 mark are Oklahoma, Colorado, LSU, Gonzaga, Georgia, Texas, VCU. Michigan.
Sounds about right.
That seems more Tennessee's ballpark, right? Right
that's,
there. At
that's
that,
our company.
At that 10,000 odds. We feel very at home with our LSUs and Colorados.
That's our company.
Intercontinental champions.
But talking about next year, Tennessee got some big news yesterday.
They did.
As Jaden Springer, who is already committed, signs his national letter of intent to attend the University of Tennessee. So that one is no longer in question.
So don't he have ain't to, going nowhere.
Don't have to worry nowhere. About him flipping Boom. His commitment. He is a Tennessee volunteer.
That's fantastic. Man, and I believe, what is that recruiting class up to right now? Is it four? It is.
Last I saw it, I thought it was three, but it may have moved. I'm not sure.
Let me check team rankings. Tennessee's at number four, right behind Duke, North Carolina, well,
what, which
and Kentucky.
Site did you check?
247.
You got to check rivals. You got to make sure. You got to make sure. Because it could be three. I need team rankings, not prospect rankings.
So right now, the three commits that you do have, Jaden Springer, the five-star out of IMG Academy in Florida, Keon Johnson, the five-star out of Webb School. Where is Bell Buckle, Tennessee? Where the hell is that? I don't know my geography perfectly yet.
Belt Buckle?
Bell Buckle.
I do not know.
Look it up.
Bell Buckle.
It sounds... like, it sounds like...
Sounds like Eastern Tennessee.
I was going to say, it sounds like Southeastern Middle Tennessee, kind of in the middle, like around Soddy Daisy, maybe. We're four on Rivals, too.
Southeastern Middle?
Yeah, like around, like Lynchburg, maybe.
Bedford County.
I don't know where that's at.
It is almost directly south of Nashville. It's about a little Middleton. Southeast of Nashville.
The mid-state.
So you got, you have Keon Johnson. He's out of the mid-state. He is a five-star. And then as well, Corey Walker, he is your four-star out of Virginia. The most recent one, as he just committed. The first one to go. First one to start the dominoes. Do we figure out what the Rivals ranking was?
Four.
Okay. And that's pretty much what you're going to hover around. But, man, for Tennessee to be in the top five in recruiting right now is unbelievable. The class, I think, that Rick Barnes just built with these three guys kind of at very minimum, this is exactly what we were waiting to happen when Kerry Blackshear Jr. chose Florida. This is exactly what we needed to happen when Rick Barnes was assumedly going to UCLA, and then we held him back with a lot of money. Like, pretty much this moment right here, everyone was saying, okay, well, let's look at Rick Barnes. Let's look at Kerry Blackshear Jr. Let's look at the recruiting. Let's look at the wins and losses. And a lot of people were saying, hey, there's been a lot of good so far, but really, really there's a new kind of era that Rick Barnes is about to bring in with his recruiting, and it's going to start 2020. That's what we need to look out for, and that's what Rick Barnes is putting together right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's really been a shift in the guys that you've started recruiting, starting with Josiah Jordan James kind of being that first one, and then the class that you got for this year, and then you look at the prospects for the years after, and the year after that.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Totally different. More with the Blitz right after this. Don't go anywhere. So we're getting a couple tweets about how we started the beginning of the show in regards to the Avena Westbrook, Gino Auriemma, UConn, Phil Fulmer situation. I think they're interesting comments because people are letting us know a little more to the story that we might have missed the first time around. And some people are saying that, you know, hey, you guys might be wrong on this. Actually, the University of Connecticut athletic director came out and said her former school did not oppose the transfer. We were sent this by a couple people. And I want to kind of read what this athletic director said, because I think there's a lot to it. He said UConn fully supported her. Her former school did not oppose the waiver. In fact, to its credit, it expressed appreciation for Avina's contributions there and wished her well. It made her clear that she was in good academic standing, had not been dismissed from the team, and but for the accentuating circumstances causing her to seek a fresh start and a new environment via a transfer, so on and so forth. So my thing is that if Ariema spoke first, which one between the coach and the athletic director are likely trying to play more of the PR spin cycle, put a Band-Aid on things?
Well, the athletic director.
Right. Wouldn't you expect the athletic director considerably less to come out off the top rope against a different school and against a different athletic director and things like that, especially when you are still trying to work with that school in order to get this transfer to be made? Because, you know, Tennessee is obviously going to have to play a role in it if UConn does want to get Westbrook. So my thing is that I know what they said. I know, you know, he said her former school did not oppose the transfer. But it was also kind of in the wording. UConn fully supported her, but Tennessee just didn't oppose the waiver. I think there's small little instances in this to where you can see that, to me, I certainly could be wrong, but what I'm reading this as is that Ariema came off really kind of from the top with their actual true feelings. I think that they really believe that Tennessee is doing something wrong in the midst of all of this. But obviously, it's not a good look for, you know, Coach Gino Ariema to come off saying these things about, you know, one of the other most elite established programs in the country, historically, Tennessee. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world why the athletic director would then come out and say, hey, you know what? Hey, I know that some things have gotten said, but let me clear the record. Tennessee, they haven't done anything wrong. They let us know what they needed to know. We're all good, but we really want to make this happen. He closes the whole this whole statement with, you know, but we want to do everything we can to make this happen. To me, one of the things part of everything we can do to make this happen is changing the narrative a little bit about the story that's coming out from your head coach, from about the Tennessee Lady Volunteers, Phil Fulmer, all this kind of stuff. Now, again, reckless speculation, but I believe that is so much more likely and plausible than, you know, Gino Ariema now having to be like, you know what? I said those things. I was actually wrong. We don't really feel like they did anything bad. That's not going to happen. Yeah. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but I can't believe that, you know, the UConn AD just coming out and saying her former school did not oppose the transfer is just washing your hands of all of it.
It could also be a thing, like, we know Gino is, like, always, like, back in the day whenever Pat was still alive, that, like, he had, like, a thing for Tennessee, like, you know, throw, like, a little, you know, shade towards Tennessee all the time. So maybe it's just, like, him, you know, really throwing salt Tennessee's way. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
not really what it is, you know.
All like, these flavors, Gino.
And you continue to choose sodium.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. I don't know what
That's
it is.
That's how he is.
But anyways, that was just one of the things I wanted to make a comment on real quick. Hey, just because we only got a couple minutes left real quick, have you seen the new trend that is bouncing around NBA arenas all across the country?
What's that?
The reverse eating camera.
Oh, that is disturbing. Have you not seen
Isn't
this
it?
Yet? It's disturbing.
Brandon, this is the grossest thing you've ever seen.
It's literally like the slow-mo reverse of like people putting food into their mouth, and it is very much
so. It's like
Brandon, can we get a live reaction?
So say I'm eating a hot dog.
It's like playing it back, like you uneating the hot dog.
Yes, yes.
You spitting it out of your mouth. Here's a live reaction from Brandon.
Okay, so we got two guys eat.
Yeah. Your face you just made.
Ew.
Yes.
They're just pulling food out of their mouth.
It's
hot dog one is the worst.
Ooh.
Brandon's mouth has dropped. It's so disturbing.
Oh!
Yeah. It's disturbing to watch the reverse.
Oh! That one was the worst.
Yes. There's a lot of worse ones when you're watching an NBA game. There's a lot of
Why?
A lot of arenas that are doing this like reverse eating camera.
People are weird.
Yeah.
Who thought that that was a good idea?
Nobody. But we
somebody
all
did.
But we all keep watching because we're kind of intrigued by it.
You know what it is? It's like a car wreck and you can't look away. Yeah. It's like, you know this is bad.
You
but
know
it's like,
coming. Oh, you know it's going to look bad.
What is the hot dog going to look like this? Oh, it's as gross as I thought.
It's very much disturbing. I've seen this at a couple arenas watching League Pass, and it's like, oh, it's so disturbing.
So the Milwaukee Bucks were the first ones to do this.
Of course. Of course they were.
What else do they have?
They have...
Of course someone in Milwaukee thought of this.
Zero plans to stop the camera anytime soon. They're like, oh, you're grossed out by it? I don't care.
The reverse eating camera.
You know who's not doing this?
Who?
My league best Boston Celtics.
They are playing good basketball.
All you needed was to get rid of Kyrie, huh?
Yeah.
What a difference that makes.
9-1.
That is unbelievable.
Is that 9 in a row, too?
They lost their first game.
Yes.
They lost the first game of the season, I thought.
Doing it without Gordon Hayward.
Why are you a Celtics fan?
Oh, God. Why do we have to explore my fandom?
But I don't know this. I'm not going to challenge you on it.
I don't question your sports fandom.
That's because all my sports fandoms are from my hometown. You can literally explain it in one sentence.
Shut you down real quick, didn't he?
One sentence.
My papa he's always been a big Celtics fan.
There you go.
And then they won in 08, and I was like, okay, I'm sold.
I think that family roots in sports is a perfectly acceptable reason to be a fan. Bandwagoners, though.
The big
bandwagoners
three.
Upset me.
They were the original big three.
Yes, they were.
The original super team.
Yeah, kind of the first to do it, huh?
Big four. People always forget Rondo.
They always forget Rondo.
Wait, I'm adding Rondo in. Who am I forgetting?
Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Rondo.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
You were forgetting Ray Allen?
No, I was actually forgetting Kevin Garnett.
Wow.
It wasn't that
was the
that
big
was, look,
ticket.
Look, look, look.
That
look.
Was an MVP year for him.
It wasn't any disrespect. I was
you
just trying to figure out it all.
The
look,
big ticket?
Somebody here said the big three, so my brain immediately went to which three players am I thinking of? The first three for me. Look, no matter how you think of it, you can think of those four players, but somebody's going to come last in your head. That's just the way things goes. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. For me, Kevin Garnett was last. I just went with the top three.
You can't forget Big Perk either.
Oh, he's such a pivotal piece. Such a pivotal piece.
Kendrick Perkins?
He was that year. So was Big Baby Davis.
Big Baby Davis?
Yep.
I love Glenn. That were made. Because they are interesting, in case you want to know who our starting quarterback is going to be. Likely from
Gary Tano.
Not so fast. We'll get into that in hour number two, along with some of the Colin Kaepernick stuff that that will be happening this Saturday, as Brandon brings out the Ticonderoga number two.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. But I want to start with this story. We got those coming up hour number two. Couple minutes left of hour number one. Want to close with this story. Here's the headline. A stash of cocaine worth $22,000 hidden in an Italian forest by a gang of suspected drug dealers was reportedly destroyed by wild boars.
Repeat that.
The hogs are back.
A stash of cocaine worth $22,000 was hidden in a forest in Italy by a gang of suspected drug dealers. It was reportedly destroyed by a wild pack of feral hogs.
You're telling me that the feral hogs that were in the guy's backyard in Texas have made it all the way to Italy?
Yes, they have.
Wow, that's impressive.
I know.
They move quick.
It's
and
not good.
And can swim.
It's not good. No. Can you imagine this sight? I'm imagining what? 50? Or more, maybe less? Imagining 50 wild boars just dashing through this forest all juiced up on cocaine. What a sight. There are many animals that I feel like this could be like a really crazy visual with. Maybe no more than feral hogs.
Cocaine, feral hogs.
What? Is there any more to the story? Did they go on a rampage?
Do you have more?
No.
Or is this a bunch of hogs with a drug issue?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if the hogs have all been rounded up. I think there are cocaine-driven feral hogs.
Mm, still in the prowl.
Running through the forests of Italy right now. Mm. Just all juiced up.
Drugs are bad.
But, Brandon, there is one more There is one more interesting part. So I'm going to read directly from the story here. Police dismantled the smuggling operation in Tuscany after placing a wiretap on members of the gang, which consisted of three Albanians and an Italian, the local reported.
Three Albanians?
First off,
three Albanians?
We have a great movie that's setting up on our hands right now. This is very detailed.
I was wondering at first, are they tapping the hogs?
Yeah. And then it says,
can you put a wiretap on a hog? A feral hog?
Nah, this one looks so cute.
It depends what? It depends what information you're trying to get, I guess. I can't imagine. You'd hear their plans for what they're going to do with the cocaine, but hey, there is one more interesting part to this story.
Tell us what you're going to do with the drugs, Hogs.
Please let us know where you're going to restash
Mr. Hog.
Please let us know if you are going to trade this for $20,000 of some sorts and what you're going to be planning on doing with it. Here's the kicker, though. While listening on a call, officials overheard a person complaining about the damage caused by the hogs. Apparently, the local officials heard a person complaining in the background. I'd imagine that if there were three Albanians and one Italian, the Italian man started screaming, quote, "Mamma mia, the hogs have stole all our cocaine."
I got a picture from the fish. It threw me off. Sorry.
Okay.
You got a picture from the fish?
Yeah, you guys also got the same picture. The fish has killed a feral hog.
No, he's not.
Look at the picture.
He has. Good for him.
He has before. Yes. There's a picture with the fish with a feral hog. Sorry.
That is the least surprising thing I've seen all day.
It's not surprising at all.
Is a feral hog an impressive thing to hunt?
Why does he look so like serious too? In his...
He just killed a beast that could have killed him.
He killed Timon.
That's Pumbaa.
Oh, yeah. Pumbaa, excuse me. He killed Pumbaa.
I mean, he just killed a beast that was trying to kill him. I don't think that feral hog that Weston killed was on cocaine, though.
No, it looks like it has a very clean face.
I think if it was, I think it would have killed Weston.
The feral hog that he kills, it looks very submissive. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on with us, let's go ahead and go to the Next Door Home Group hotline and take a call from Disappointed Dad.
Oh, no.
Oh, is this my dad?
Possibly.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, my God.
Is this your dad?
It's Brandon's dad.
Oh.
Guys,
Mr. Orr, good morning.
Mr. Orr.
25 years ago, my son was born into this world.
Yes.
And I will never, ever get a nomination for Father of the Year or anything like that. But there's two things that I taught my son growing up.
Did you teach him how to kill feral hogs?
Well, no, I did not do that. But there is two. From the time he started, going to the bathroom on his own, I taught him two things: to love the orange and despise the blue.
Oh,
hate it.
Oh my God!
Despise it.
You talking about yesterday?
I'm talking about hate it worse than Florida, hate it worse than Bama. And then I get a call last night from a good friend of mine.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Tells me that my son is on the air taking up for these clowns.
He is. He was Coach Cal.
Yep.
I am extremely disappointed. Extremely disappointed.
God, man.
You know, I mean, for the first time in his life, I guess this is the most disappointed I've ever been in it. Oh, in man. At him, this knowing is, this is that he is you, taking Brandon. Up for these clowns.
Oh, man.
Brandon, I tell you, man, I don't know.
Brandon,
where
I don't
I
know, Brandon. What do you, know, what do you have to say about yourself right now?
You have let your father down.
This is rough.
Where do you go from here? You let your father down.
All I said
don't,
was that
don't
I...
Don't double down on
you
it.
You like Cal.
All
is what
I said was
Mr.
I like
Orr.
Cal. I like
I like Cal.
Mr. Orrick, can Brandon like Coach Calipari, one of the biggest cheaters on this planet?
No.
No. I mean, not, never. No. I mean, never.
I mean, he has absolutely coached at Tennessee.
You have went against the family.
I mean, he has coached against Tennessee's two biggest rivals, but he's a good guy.
Oh, man. A good guy.
And even, you know, and where we're from, we have a lot of people from Eastern Kentucky that move into our area.
Oh, I believe it.
And when he was in school, I even would tell him, don't let these people indoctrinate you into liking this bunch. Because one of my best friends in the world went to school and got indoctrinated into being a Kentucky fan. Mm. And I tried my best. You know, Brandon, don't let these people sway you now. And I failed somewhere, guys. I have failed. I don't know where. Hey, but I can say,
don't be so hard on yourself.
My hatred for Kentucky goes deeper than Florida, Alabama, any of it. And here he is defending them. I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you here. I feel like we all feel this disappointment right now. We all care about Brandon. We need to stage an intervention.
Now, he hasn't took the Tennessee flag down in the apartment, put up the Kentucky flag yet, has he?
Not yet.
Some people say it's coming.
Cody and I had to deadbolt it down.
I appreciate that. If you see him headed that way, you know, just let me know, and we'll figure something out.
I understand.
Hey, thank you so much for the call. Brandon, you have a lot to answer.
You have a lot to think about right now.
Your dear old dad calling from tomato country.
It wasn't even the fact that your dad called in and that he explained how disappointed he was from the way he grew you up. Never to give an ounce of respect to those Kentucky people.
Yep.
But it's the fact that you have doubled down on your comments from yesterday in the midst of it all.
You went against the family.
I hate Kentucky.
Oh, there you go.
And it's going to take more than that.
A little bit more.
It's going to take more than one outburst.
Rough into the hour.
You have some ground to cover.
Rough into the hour.
One of those things you truly hate to see.